Today's date is December 17th, year 2006, and it's the third Sunday in Advent, Gaudete Sunday, I think they call that, because to rejoice. And it's instead of violet vestments, they wear rose vestments. And it's a little bit of a mid-Lent celebration we have, which is called Laudate Sunday, I think. This is called Gaudete Sunday. And it's like a little saying that we're almost close to Christmas, coming around the corner.
Laetare.
Well, it's Laetare. Okay. So the Easter one is Laetare Sunday, and this one is Gaudete Sunday. But they're similar. And it's a little break in between your fasting period of time that you have. Now, we're going to continue on talking about the Blessed Mother. But before this still relates to it though, we're going to talk about what we were saying last week, that there are certain mysteries that God reveals to people, to mankind, that we're never going to be able to reasonably understand because we're only creatures. We don't have the mind of God. Only God can comprehend these deepest mysteries, and therefore even the angels and saints that are in heaven, and the Blessed Mother, who's given the most creature that any most wisdom that any creature could bear, even she cannot comprehend these very deep mysteries of God. And we're going to talk about two of those deep mysteries today to let the listeners understand that no matter how much we can reasonably understand certain dogmas, there's certain things we have to believe by faith, and that we can never reasonably understand because our human reasoning and even angelic reasoning is puny compared to God's reasoning. God's reasoning and knowledge is infinitely greater than any of our thoughts or minds. He says in, I think, Isaiah 55, he says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways exalted above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. And we even read God telling us in the Old Testament that there's certain things we can never understand. In Ecclesiastes 3:25-26, he says, for those things that, he says, in unnecessary matters, be not inquisitive, for there are many things shown to you that are above the understanding of man. There are many things showing to us that are above the understanding of man. That's Ecclesiastes 3:26. These deep mysteries cannot even be comprehended by angelic reasoning. And angels are so much smarter than we are, it would almost seem to be infinite. But God's even infinitely more smarter than the angels. And even they, the angels, cannot comprehend what we're talking about here. But this is going to help people who are not Catholics to understand some of these deep mysteries that they don't want to believe because it's really rooted in pride. And I'm going to bring that out to a lot of these people that are listening to this that have a hard time believing that God can come into the womb of a human and take on her flesh. Or that God can exist in the Holy Eucharist under the appearance of bread and wine. Or that God can make Mary conceive the Immaculate. Or God could create a church and put a pope in charge and give him the charism of fallibility. These people are really selective when they choose what they don't want to believe and what they do want to believe. Because even all pagans that don't even know about Catholicism, they believe things that they cannot comprehend. If you go back before science was able to explain lightning, people didn't know where it came from. Or what was the scientific reasoning for it? But they certainly believed it. In this case, you've seen the lightning. You didn't know where it came from. You didn't know how it happened. But you certainly believed in it. But because you didn't understand the mechanism behind it or how it forms or how it happens doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There's a lot of things people believe in all their everyday lives that they take by faith that they have no proofs for. And certain things that they can never get proofs for within their generations, at least, when science was not yet advanced to be able to explain to us a lot of these things. But they still believe them. In this case, you can see the lightning. But we're almost comparing things to people when Christ came and he appeared and he did all these miracles and proved he was God by his resurrection. And people still refuse to believe that through faith that God really did take on the flesh of a human. It's like somebody getting struck by lightning and not believing in lightning and not believing even he got struck by it because you cannot scientifically explain it. You know what I'm saying? They all got to have reasonings for everything. But when Christ came, he's now showing us, indeed, not just by his preaching, but by the deeds that he did, that he is God. Even though you can't comprehend, well, how could God come into the womb of a woman? How did it happen? How did the incarnation precisely happen? How did he take on her flesh? And how does he exist in the womb? You can argue about all these things and try to reasonably figure them out. If it doesn't make reasonable sense to you, that don't matter. He did it. And he proved it, even when he came out. And in this case, we can even, as I said, certain dogmas are reasonable. But we're going to dwell this week, and then we're going to go back onto Mary on the last week of Advent again. And we may get back onto, if you have time here today, go back to some of the deep mysteries about Mary again. But this is trying to help people to say, how could Mary have been immaculately conceived? you know, or how could God bring the saints to heaven? You know, the thing we really tell Protestants most of the time, and all the time really, we should just put it in their face when they say, I don't believe that Christ can exist under appearance of bread and wine in the Holy Eucharist. And that's really his body and blood, and that's not really bread and wine. It tastes like bread, tastes like wine. Yeah, it tastes like it, but it really isn't. You know? And the thing we say, can God do it if he wanted to? Because nothing's impossible with God except to lie. God doesn't lie. And he's not unjust. But nothing's impossible with God. Can God do it if he wants to? So we're going to read from my book, Mary, God's Masterpiece and Lucifer's Fall. And this is where, after I got done talking about some deep mysteries that people might be having some trouble to comprehend or understand, if God said it, it's true. And it is reasonable, by the way. All of God's dogmas are reasonable. They never contradict reason. Just because we can't reasonably understand it, it doesn't contradict reason. That's another infallible teaching of the church. So we're going to get into the part in this book where I go on to talk about two of God's deepest mysteries, about how he creates things out of nothing, and about God's infinity, and how we have to believe these things by faith. But even when God gives us certain proofs, but I'll start reading from that now, and it's under the chapter titled Deepest Mysteries. And the first subheading is God creates from nothing. All things were made by him, and without him was made nothing that was made. John 1:3. I am the Lord that make all things, that alone stretch out the heavens, that establish the earth, and there is none with me. Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, I made the earth, and I created man upon it, and my hand stretched forth the heavens, and I have commanded all their hosts. Isaiah 45:11-12. Quote, I beseech thee, my son, look upon heaven and earth, and all that is in them, and consider that God made them out of nothing, and mankind also. 2 Maccabees 7:28. In Mary, uncreated wisdom built a home for it to exist, not just most perfectly as it dwells with the good angels, but also to the fullest that any creature could bear. Quote, she, Mary, was as superior to the angels of heaven in sanctity and purity as it was becoming that she should be, in whose womb the King of Glory was to dwell. There were deep mysteries of God found in Mary, known by Mary, that the good angels had not yet known. Thus Mary is said to possess the fullest wisdom a creature could bear. And I would even go as far to say there's probably things, and almost definitely, that Mary could reasonably understand that no other creature could, because she's been given the fullest amount of wisdom and stuff that we can't even go. So there's certain little secrets and deep, deep mysteries that God has given to Mary that even angels and we don't have. But even Mary does not know all the deep mysteries, because Mary's not God. And as great as Mary is, she's still infinitely below God, because she's not God. And that's how much we're below even Mary. So even to her, there's certain mysteries that she cannot comprehend. But of all creatures, she comprehends all the mysteries, and even some that I don't think anyone else comprehends, that only she's privy to. So now we're going to go on to read. The deepest mysteries of God, such as his infinity and ability to create out of nothing, can never be known by any creature, not even Mary, because creature is not God. That is not to say these deepest mysteries are not to be believed. They must be believed, but they cannot be comprehended by human reason or angelic reason. The only way a creature can comprehend all the mysteries of God is if he were God. There is only one God, and no creature can ever be or become God. Because you notice how God says in Deuteronomy 32:39, I think, see that I alone am, and there is no other God besides me. And he said that because Lucifer tried to become a God. He tried to become God, thought he can achieve to the level and make himself God. So God's saying, I'm the only one, and no one else ever could become God like me. And that's logic even dictates that. So the essence of God is his infinity and power to create out of nothing. No creature can ever comprehend the means of these two deepest mysteries. That's what we say, if God needed anything to create something before he created, then who created the tools that God needed to create something? See? So it's logic that God needs nothing to create. He just wills it to be done, speaks the word, and is created out of nothing. And that's logical. Even a pagan can reason, if he believes in the existence of God, which he could with the law upon his heart, he can also believe that God creates out of nothing. You don't even need supernatural revelation for that. Logic tells you that God has to create out of nothing. Because if God needed something, then that something had to exist before God, and who created that something, that tool that God needed to create with? So, We say, no creature can ever comprehend the means of these two deepest mysteries, God's infinity and his ability to create of nothing. They can easily believe it by an act of faith on earth, or if they enter heaven, they can directly observe it. God can create something out of nothing before their very eyes. And God can do that with us on earth if he wants. He could create a tree, full grown, right on the front lawn here in Mary's house if he wants. He can do it right now. This would no longer take an act of faith to believe in because they see it. But they will not know how God does it. They will not comprehend how it is done. A scientist with a mind of the smartest angel would never be able to inspect it, dissect it, categorize it, or duplicate it because he is not God. He will not be able to duplicate that miracle. He will not be able to create that tree out of nothing. Can't do it. All angels and men need to have things. When they make things, they're only using pre-existent things that God already made, and they're putting them together, and they're making something else out of it. But God already created those things for them to utilize. They can never make out of nothing. And they can never say, precisely how did God do that? You're never going to know that, because you ain't God. You don't have his mind. You don't have his ability to create out of nothing. The minds of God's creatures in heaven, angels and saints, as great and perfect as they are so inferior to that of God that they can never comprehend all there is to know about God. God can give a creature the power to speak a word. In so doing, a thing is created. But the power, the act of creation, comes from God through the creature. It was not Moses who gave the Israelites manna from heaven. It was God acting through Moses who sent the manna. And any one of the great prophets and saints in the Old Testament, saints of the Old and the New Testament era, would be the first ones to tell you, all I did was invoke the name of God for this miracle. And then water came out in a rock. I didn't go into a test tube in a lab and put together things and turn on a circuit and pull a switch and throw things together and water came out of the thing. All I did was say, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I beseech this rock to bear water, and water comes out. Who really does it? God. You have to have faith for God to grant you those miracles, but who's actually doing it? When Jesus healed people and the sick, he said, your faith healed you. He didn't mean the person healed himself. He says, but because you had faith in me, that allowed me to do this miracle for you, because I don't do miracles for people unless they first exhibit faith in me. But who really heals the sick and makes the blind see? It's God. Now anybody, if God told you to go out and say anything and it happened, and you say, I command that mountain to move, and it moves. You're going to go, wow, praise God and his great goodness. You know you didn't move that mountain. You didn't get behind it and try to push it. You didn't get tow trucks behind it and try to push it. You didn't try to do some type of a scientific thing to move it. Now, the devil can do false miracles. We're not going to get into that neither. The idea of what we're saying here is that God, when he even does miracles through people, and he does, you don't know how it's done, and you're never going to know how it's done because you're not God. Now, so even when God tells an angel to come down and do something, and the angel doesn't, he's doing it by the power of God. When God told that angel to go out and kill the 180 sinners, now God can give you the physical power to do things too, and there's certain things you can actually affect. He'll work through you. But if God didn't even if God didn't give that angel the power to do that, they wouldn't be able to do it. But when we're talking about creating something out of nothing, only God can do that. So the creature cannot create. The things men make, such as houses, clothes, food, paint, ink, paper, come from already created things. Men have merely discovered how to use them. A scientist observes, discovers, categorizes, and manipulates things that God had already created. The scientist does not make it happen. God makes it happen by the inherent nature he gave to the two elements to come together to make another element. Not only did God create all these good things that men can discover and enjoy, but also, in order for them to do this, God gave men a mind, the ability to understand, along with the necessary knowledge. Quote, for he hath given me the true knowledge of the things that are, to know the disposition of the whole world and the virtues of the elements. Wisdom 7:17. God has proven his supremacy and control over his created elements by suspending or changing their inherent qualities. Quote, snow and ice endured the force of fire and melted not. Wisdom 16:22. But, quote, these three men, that is, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the furnace of burning fire. And they walked in the midst of the flame, praising God and blessing the Lord. End quote, Daniel 3:23-24. There are also many miracles performed by God through Old Testament Catholic saints. and by Jesus Christ, the multiplying of bread, changing water to wine, healing the blind, healing the deaf, the lame, making the lame to walk, raising the dead to life, and we have the uncorrupted bodies of the Catholic saints. And you can read Luke 7:22. Our Lord says, "Go tell John, I heal and I raise, make the blind to see." And all these great miracles that God did, raising the dead from life. What scientist can do that? What angel can do that? Only God can give life. There are supernatural events above nature that God shows men so that they may know He is God and creator of all things. Oh, arrogant and faithless scientists who do not believe God created all that is. Oh, stupid men, hear God's rebuke against you. Quote, this is from the book of Job, between chapters 38 and 40. Gird up thy loins like a man, I will ask thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures of it, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Upon what are its bases grounded? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars praised me together, and all the sons of God made a joyful melody, who shut up the sea with doors, when it broke forth as issuing out of the womb, when I made a cloud the garment thereof, and wrapped it in a mist as in swaddling bands, I set my bounds around it, and made it bars and doors. And I said, hitherto thou shalt come, and shalt go no further, and here thou shalt break thy swelling waves. Didst thou since thy birth command the morning, and show the dawning the day of the day its place? And didst thou hold the extremities of the earth, shaking them, as thou hast shaken the ungodly out of it? Hast thou entered into the depths of the sea, and walked into the lowest parts of the deep? Have the gates of death been opened to thee? And hast thou seen the darksome doors? Hast thou considered the breadth of the earth? Tell me, if thou knowest all things, where is the way where light dwelleth, and where is the place of darkness? Show me if you've gone down to hell, or if you can go up to heaven where God lives. That thou mayest bring everything to its own bounds, and understand the paths of the house thereof. Didst thou know then that thou should be born? And didst thou know the number of thy days? Was he able to, who created you? Were you able to petition you? You couldn't even petition yourself to be created. You didn't even exist. Could you create yourself? Shalt thou be able to join together the shining stars, the Pleiades, or canst thou stop the turning about of Arcturus? Canst thou bring forth the day star in its time, and make the evening star to rise upon the children of earth? Hast thou an arm like God, and canst thou thunder with a voice like Him? Clothe thyself with beauty, and set thyself up on high, and be glorious, and put on godly garments. Scatter the proud in the indignation, and behold every arrogant man, and humble him. Look on all that are proud and confound them. Look on all the proud and confound them, and crush the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and plunge their faces into the pit. End quote. And it's God who ultimately kills all of us, because He says we have the death sentence. He either kills us directly, if He wills to do so, or through secondary or tertiary means, through another person or through nature. We all get killed by God. Can you make yourself not get killed? Can you gain immortality? Which is what people are trying to do. The only way you can gain everlasting life is through Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church and the graces and the faith that He offers you. Oh, arrogant and faithless scientists who accept Nobel Prizes for your meager discoveries of what God already created, while you twist many of these discoveries to suit your godless folly. You who want accolades for your quote-unquote great achievements, for your puny discoveries, while you give none to God who created you. Quote, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones are joined together in the womb of her that is with child, so thou knowest not the works of God, who is the maker of all. Ecclesiastes 11:5. And most importantly, where does the soul come from, which is a living part of the body? You can discover certain things about the body, but you can never discover where the soul comes from or create the soul. And even God creates the flesh, the first flesh that we inherit through husband and wife when they come together. But they cannot ever probe into the regions of the soul. And if they ever try to do it illegally against God's will, then they're playing with the devil and they're playing with fire. And that's why God forbids that type of probing to take place, although people can do that. And even people who have done that know that there's much more in this world than anybody can comprehend or know. It would almost be maybe more, I think it's going to be harder for an atheistic scientist to convert than a satanic person who's worshiping Satan and knows that there's this other world out there where things happen that cannot be scientifically explained. You see? That person's evil to the core also, but the atheistic scientist has almost got to be the worst. Because there's no worse fool in the world that says in scriptures and he doesn't believe God exists. So it says, you who pretend to no intelligent being created you and the universe you live in. This is equivalent to saying an artist can throw paint in the air and when it lands on a canvas, a masterpiece is produced. Or a man who breaks a watch in pieces and places it in a box and then waits for it to fix itself. You who pretend the Big Bang created the universe. If so, who lit the fuse? You will get a Big Bang. You will get the Big Bang you are searching for, only you will find it at the end of the world and not at the beginning. Your nuclear Big Bang. Yes, at the end, when God allows the world as we know it to be destroyed by fire. First by man's invention, the nuclear bomb, which brings Antichrist to power, and then by God himself. Quote, the day of the Lord shall come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with great violence, and the elements shall be melted, and the heat in the earth and the works which are in it shall be burnt up. 2 Peter 3:10. If you doubt, you can read Zechariah, I think 12:14 or 14:12, he talks about the earth being burnt up. If you die before the world ends, your big bang will come when God throws you into hell, a place whose fire is hotter than nuclear fire and never dissipates. You will find yourself in the epicenter as fuel for the fire of the eternal, never-ending big bang in hell. Oh, arrogant, faithless scientists, your mind is like a drop of water in the sea compared to the mind of God, and a polluted drop at that. Pride comes before the fall, Ecclesiasticus 10:14. Oh, fateful day, one fateful day you will meet your Maker and your Judge, and He is the God of the Holy Catholic Church. Quote, is it appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment?
Hebrews 9:27.
That was Will saying Hebrews 9:27. We learn our scriptures here. Some of us have the gift to do that. Not everybody does. You don't have to know all your scriptures. As long as you know them, but you don't have to know the numbers all the time. But as long as you know the spirit of the gospel, so you can quote it. Sometimes St. Paul used to say, I don't know what's somewhere in the scriptures. Or I do that sometimes. And sometimes I quote the wrong scriptures because I don't exactly remember. And I can see the Pharisees. He's wrong! I quote him! I quote Abraham, he's wrong. That's their problem, isn't it? Who cares about them? All right, now we're going to get on to, and this is the last section we're going to talk about. Now we're going to talk about God's infinity. Before the mountains were made or the earth and the world was formed, from eternity into eternity, thou art God. Psalm 89:2. And for God to be God, he has to be infinite. God's infinity is another deep mystery that can never be comprehended by any creature. The fact that he always was. He had no beginning and has no end. I had struggled with this mystery when I was a young child, and in so doing had gone where I should not have gone. I tried to comprehend how something could not have a beginning or an end by first contemplating the universe and whether it ever came to an end. Does outer space have an end? If it did have an end, what would it be? A wall or partition of some sort? The next question is, what is behind the wall? Another wall? And then is behind that another wall? More space or water? Or what then one would then have to transverse that to see if there is an end to the space or the water? If another wall, then what is behind that? Or with God who sets limits, could there be a wall that cannot be breached, of which nothingness, not even space or water, exists behind it? The other consideration, which is even deeper, is how God had existed forever, having no beginning. Now, we are faced not with nothingness, but with a being, God, who has always existed. And I just extrapolate this a little bit. This caused me such nightmares. I had immense nightmares. And the devil tempted me with this tremendously. And I was struggling with this. I'd wake up in the middle of nights, after night, sweating, and he attacking me with these thoughts of thinking of just outer space. When you think about infinity, your mind can't comprehend it. You can never really reasonably understand how something can exist forever, how it can never have an end. You just can't do it. And if you try to do it, you're going to lose your faith. And this was a great temptation which the devil was really racking my mind with. So I said, now we are faced with not nothingness, but with a being, God, who has always existed. Tracing back God's infinity, we do not end in nothingness, but with God. My brain almost literally exploded when contemplating this. I could not bear it, and it became and became very perplexed, to the brink of despair. I would always end with the same question: how could God have existed without any beginning, and with no reason that would satisfy my intellect? This, no doubt, was a temptation from the devil to get me to deny the existence of God, in a fit of almost total despair and sadness. Because my mind could not comprehend God's infinity, God had mercy on me. He spoke these few words to me while I lay awake in bed. Quote, "Rich, you are and I am. Go no further." End quote. While he was saying these words, I felt my flesh on my hand, upon my wrist, and I said, "Yes, Lord, surely I am. I exist and you are." End quote. My mind was instantly at ease by these few words from God. I knew then that God had always existed and will always be. Never again did I try to reason out his infinity with my puny intellect, because there's several thoughts that come to your mind. I am, and I had to come from somebody, and that person has to be infinite, and now God's telling me this, here he is, and he's also saying, don't try to go any further on it. So, it was that instant, that temptation never, that particular one that never got me with again on that. So never again did I try to reason out God's infinity with my puny intellect. Praise be to merciful Lord who condescended to save me from this temptation of the devil and taught me a lesson. There are certain things angels and men will never understand simply because they are not God, although we have an intellect that must not be abused and thought of as more than it is, or used as a source of pride. And I will quote some scriptures. Ecclesiasticus 18:1-6. He that liveth forever created all things together. God only shall be justified, and he remaineth an invincible king forever. Who is able to declare his works? For who shall search out his glorious acts? Nothing may be taken away nor added. Neither is it possible to find out the glorious works of God. What a man hath done, then shall he begin. And when he leaveth off, he shall be at a loss. And we read the Dewey Commentary on that passage. God is so great and incomprehensible that when man has done all that he can to find out his greatness and boundless perfections, he is still to begin. For what he has found out is but a mere nothing in comparison with God's infinity. And then I quote from this other verse here, Ecclesiasticus 3:22-23. Seek not the things that are too high for thee, and search not into things above thy ability, but the things in many of his works be not curious. This is what I was quoting earlier. For it is not necessary for thee to see with thy eyes those things that are hid, and unnecessary matters be not over curious, and many of his works be not inquisitive, for there are many things shown to thee above the understanding of men. That's the finish of that quote. It is not that men should not contemplate high and deep things of God. Quote, for many things are shown thee above the understanding of men. To us, To us God hath revealed them by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Because he's even saying, he's only talking Ecclesiasticus, things that are above your understanding. Because there are some things he does want you to search out. God demands this, that we contemplate deep things, and that we can come to understand the ones that we could understand reasonably. He demands that. That's how we see God's greatness and glory. And then when we see all these good things that, by an act of faith in the deep mysteries, and then we reasonably understand these other dogmas that we couldn't reasonably understand before, and then we see that, that's how we come to believe in the things God shows us that we can't comprehend, because of his impeccable credibility of what we already do see. And because of the credibility of what we do see, we then say, because God is so impeccable and is so credible, and all his miracles and evidence that we do see, we take it for his words with the things we do not see. For instance, if God created the tree on the front lawn, I don't know how he did it. I can't say how he did it out of nothing, but I know he did it. You'll never be able to understand it, but you know he did it. And his credibility of his miracles and his power that he shows us. And so, but he does want you anyway to do, probe into deep things that are, that boundaries in which you could go. So this is the point we're talking about here. God demands this. Rather, there are certain deep mysteries of God men can never know and should never try to reason out. Which there's certain things you shouldn't. There are limits to what angels and men can know about God. All right. So we're just going to get into the limits again that God puts on us. And you don't want to go beyond that limit. We even question here, we're now getting ready to write a very, very important thing on the grace and age dispute that has to do with predestination, God's grace, and man's free will. Now, that I would say we're at the outer limit of the boundaries that God allows us to go there because he allowed the saints to be disputing this. But that's a very dangerous realm. If you go one step too far, you're in trouble. And that's why this is one of the last great mysteries that needs to be revealed in the church, because you have all the great saints fighting with one another over predestination, grace, and free will in legitimate areas which the church allows. And there's a good area of what I would say we're on the outer limits of our boundaries. And that's as far as we're going to go. And even there, you better be watched careful about how far you go, because you're at the outer limit. One step too far and you're over the limit. But nevertheless, God does want us to dwell upon predestination, or she wouldn't inspire his church to define these things. He would have spoke about it in scriptures, and he does. He speaks about how he creates out of nothing, how he places creatures on earth, how there's good people and bad people, and he knows the wicked are alienated from the wombs. When I quote that one, that baffles most people. How could God call an infant evil? Well, what do you mean, how could he call an infant evil? He has the foreknowledge of everything that infant's going to do. He knows the disposition of that infant's soul. There's a good example of what we're talking about. Believing something, but then first to believe that God's just in that area, you got to believe God's all-knowing and all-powerful. You see? So now, we're going to go on and find out the limits. Okay, now the limit is we can search out through predestination why God can say that. But there's still certain limits in which you're never going to surpass. We're back to that again. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity, how God can exist as one God in three persons. The Muslims don't understand it. The Jehovah Witnesses don't understand it. The Mormons don't understand it. And the Jews don't understand it. A lot of people don't understand it. But they don't understand that God certainly does exist as one God in three persons. And when you read the Athanasian Creed, it's beautiful. How he exists in three persons? You're not going to know because you're not God. You know, we can come pretty close to explaining how it could happen. But God said it, so therefore it's true. And there's some little things we use to try to prove it, but there's only so far you can go with the dogma of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Eucharist, under the appearance of bread and wine, God's affinity, how he creates out of nothing. We're going to read here about the limits that God sets upon us. What needeth a man to seek things that are above him, whereas he knoweth not what is profitable for him in his life, in all the days of his pilgrimage, and the time that passes like a shadow? Or who can tell him what shall be after him under the sun? And I understood that man can find no reason of all those works of God that are done under the sun. And the more he shall labor to seek, so much the less shall he find. Yea, though the wise man shall say that he knoweth it, he shall not be able to find it. End quote. Ecclesiastes 7, 1 and 8, chapter 7, verse 1 and chapter 8, verse 17. There are those who, on seeking the high things of God, do not seek and know the simple things before their face that can easily be known, because they pridefully seek God for selfish reasons. Jesus said that. If you don't understand the things on earth, how are you going to understand the deep things in heaven? If you lie, our Lord says, who's faithful in little things, he gives the grace for great things. If you lie about things on earth because of pride, because you want to be right, you don't want to be wrong, or for whatever reason you want to twist earthly things that you can know, God's not even going to give you the grace to come close to comprehending his deep mysteries that could be known by reason. You're not even in the ballpark. God says, until you first observe what's around you and make a true account of the earth as you see it, by the natural law upon your heart, my grace, you're not even going to get close to supernatural infusions of graces from God and understanding of his deep mysteries. You first have, if God starts seeing you lying about things on earth, and he knows you're lying, God knows you're lying, he's not going to give you the ability to understand these deep things. So I tell a lot of people out there right now who are listening to this, if you have trouble with God and all these deep mysteries, just take a look at the things you do know in life and examine your conscience, this thing that you are lying about. So many liars are going around right now, it's unbelievable, especially in the scientific realm. Bold-faced evolution is the biggest, scoopless lie that ever existed. It's the most illogical, dumb thing that even a kid could figure out. But these guys are still persisting in scientific lies. We even have some scientists who came in and admitted, he says, I've been lying all my life to myself trying to figure out how the earth and universe and man could have come from nothing, from a non-intelligent being. So if you're lying in the things that you can know, then just know that's why you're having problems understanding things that you cannot know. Yeah, you first have to start cooperating with God's grace and stop lying about the things that you can know. And that's all this is rooted in pride. So it says, there are those who on seeking the high things of God do not seek and know the simple things before their face that can easily be known, because they pridefully seek God for selfish reasons. They want to know deep things of God while violating the natural law upon their heart, fornicating, going out there and breaking the natural law, you know, such as worshiping false gods or by committing sins of immorality Man cannot have true wisdom until he first sets out to stop doing what God hates. Quote, say not, it is through God that she, wisdom, is not with me. For do not thou the things that he hated. Say not, he hath cursed me, caused me to err, for he hath no need of a wicked man. The Lord hateth all abomination of error, and they that fear him shall not love it. And he says, and when you start to hate those things that the natural law tells you, and you start to resist the devil and resist evil and stop lying, then I will turn towards you and open up your heart with my graces so you can understand the deep mysteries of supernatural revelation. But it starts right down at the very basic level of things in your everyday life that God observes. First, stop doing the things that I hate. Flee from the devil and he will flee from you. The darkness will flee from your mind and I will grant you the graces to be able to comprehend deep mysteries, to start to understand my supernatural revelations that before you could not understand because you were violating and you were contradicting the very things that you did know on earth that you knew were wrong. Adultery with your neighbor's wife. Isn't that logical? You want somebody to come and commit adultery with your wife, then why are you doing it to somebody else's wife? God's natural laws, all those laws are logical, even and good and reasonable, and the natural law, everybody can comprehend that. So if you're going out there, you're an alcoholic, you're a drug addict, you're out there fornicating, you're committing these sins obstinately with no will to convert, how do you expect God to give you any deeper graces? All right, to understand, and it says elsewhere too, it says, I forget the exact verse, but it says, wisdom does not dwell in a malicious soul or a body subject to sin. And that's in the Old Testament. Wisdom does not dwell in a malicious soul nor a body subjected to sin. And God, and it's the same verse right before that, it says, God shows himself to those who have faith in him. And that's who God shows himself to. Now, and you have to stop, you have to start admitting to what you could know in the natural realm before it. So when we're going out there and done reading that, with the natural law upon their heart and common sense, idolatry, false gods, false religions, false ideologies, etc., and immorality can easily be known as very sinful, as very evil and sinful. Until they first reject these falsehoods, they cannot hope to believe in the full truth, even if it was presented to them. If they do not reject the falsehoods in their life, then God will see to it. If they do reject the falsehoods in their life, then God will see to it that they hear his word and believe. Yet many of these men, such as Protestants who condone divorce and sinful adulterous second unions, and those who cannot see abortion as murder, attempt to know the high things of God. How can they truly see the high things of God when they cannot see God's laws that are easily known? Quote, if I have spoken to you earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I speak to you heavenly things? End quote, John 3:12. And he's speaking in regards to when Nicodemus, I think, was saying, how can a man be born again? And it was hard for him to comprehend that. And Jesus was talking about the soul being reborn, because the souls are born dead in original sin. And even though you have a body, but your soul is really dead. It's in the realm of Satan on the road to hell. And he compared it to what? Do you remember when he was speaking to Nicodemus? He says, okay, let's look at the wind, he said. You feel the wind, but you don't know where it comes. You can't touch it. You can't see it. You don't know where it comes from. But you certainly feel it, so you know it exists. And this is the same way when you're reborn by the Spirit. The Spirit goes where he will it, sanctifies when he will it. You do not see it sanctifying, but you certainly see its result once you're sanctified in the life of the person and all the miracles that God can do through it. And just the way it turns you into a new creature and creates inside yourself a clean heart. So that's what we're going to end with right now. And this is to help people to understand that for you to believe in what we're trying to say, I would tell anybody out there the first thing you got to do, examine your conscience and the things that you could know, the natural law upon your heart. Stop committing immoral sins against the moral commandments and stop practicing practicing worshiping false gods and practicing false religions. There's only one true religion. It's the Catholic religion in the Catholic Church, and there's only one true God, is the Catholic God. Everything outside of that is false. And all these other false religions and ideologies have what I call basic, knowable falsehoods that by God's grace you can easily detect and reject, because why? God wills for all men to be saved. And it's not his will that you should be in that false religion, and it's not his will that you should worship that false God. And he gives everybody that's worshiping a false god and is practicing false religions graces to detect these basic falsehoods that contradict common sense and reason, which men can easily know. And until you start rejecting those things, God will not begin to move with you and re-enlighten you. So you have to clean up your act and the things that you can know, and then God will start to enlighten you with the things that you cannot know through supernatural revelation that comes through the Catholic Church. Amen. This recording is produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. Visit our St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us or email me, Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, at rjmi@johnthebaptist.us, or send for a catalog to the just mentioned address.